Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Trust and Believe. I'm your host, Sean T, and I am super excited about today's guest, Dallas Velasquez. You all know her as a Beachbody Super Trainer, but I'm telling you right now, she is going to talk to you about overall wellness, the struggles that she went through to get to where she is today, and more on why I love her program, 30 Day Breakaway. Get ready to trust and believe.
Somebody say, oh yeah!
What's up?
He's better than Oprah. Come on, y'all!
This is Sean T, and it's time to trust and believe.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Can I just tell you something that I am freaking out about you? Okay. She's like, what? So first of all, you know, we had our initial like first interaction at Summit, like what, 2 years ago, whenever we could like—
I was pregnant, yes.
Yes, you were pregnant. And so I was just like, just enamored by who you were, just kind of like your energy, your soul, like, you know, the internal, like I feel energy like that. And, you know, then I was like, I need to do some research on this woman. So I'm like, I want to know more about you, because it was just like, you were just so, you just had like a powerful but like easing spirit, right? And then I realized what the connection was. Yes. I did not know prior to all of that that you were a true runner. Like, you were a professional runner, and we need to talk about that, because so I'm like up there doing your program and I am like living. I am living. I had a phone call the other day and we were like, oh, we want to film you working out and we want to do this. And they were like, you know, just talking about what workouts I want to do. I'm like, I want you to film me doing 30 Day Breakaway.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Thank you.
Because people, you know, people see me dancing, they see me doing my thing, but they never see me really doing like other things that I love. And I was like, 30 Day Breakaway and Bar Blend is what you need to film me doing, because everyone sees me on TikTok shaking my ass, right? So anyway, I just need to talk about that. Like, I am just like so inspired, and I don't know how many people know about your backstory, but if you can just talk about you for a second.
And I also learned that you were a track star. When Carl said that, after you share a run, when you were doing 30 Day Breakaway. But yes, my background, obviously, I grew up with my dad. My dad was a PE teacher and he was a former athlete. So even though I had a brother too, it was the three of us that grew up together. He was never into sports. So since I was 4 years old, my dad was like, I was always doing sport. I was the ultimate tomboy, and I just fell in love with running. When I tell you that I used to spend all of my recess, I was that weird girl that girls didn't want to hang out. I was always with the boy, and I'm not kidding. Elementary school, I spent my recess trying to find people to raise me, and it got to the point that boys were like, they didn't even want to raise me anymore. I'm like, I'll give you a heads up. Like, and it was just like, I was that hardcore. So by the time I was 12, I went to a specialized schools that, it develops athletes in the island. So you live there from Sunday to Friday, and then you graduate, you go 7 until senior year in high school. So to me, that was like my first love, my passion, and then it opened a lot of opportunities. It's obviously easier to keep it real, like to make the national team in Puerto Rico, like it is to a country like United States. So I was very blessed since I was 14, 15 that I started traveling to represent the island, and I got like sponsorships and scholarship, and it was just like my life. However, I was a long jumper. I was the laziest girl. I hated the pain, so I could do hills all day. So I was I would do like 100 meter hurdles, and I was just my event was the long jump. So I didn't transition into like a distant runner until a few years ago. After spending many years that I couldn't run. I had a bad injury, so I had to retire. And it was after being able to not experience running at all for more than 3 years that I started running more and doing the workouts like similar to 30-day breakaway.
Oh my goodness. Let's talk about your injury for a second, because there are a lot of people listening right now that, you know, something happened, either an injury physically or they're going through a mental struggle. Yeah. And, you know, you hear it all the time, I'm sure, about a lot of people who want to work out and they can't find that motivation because of something that happened. And so, like, tell us what happened and like, what was the process of you kind of like maneuvering your way?
Yeah. So for me, it wasn't just one injury. It was a series of, there was a lot of things that were part of it. One was the nutrition. I was I was very ignorant about nutrition. In the island, you don't grow up eating vegetables, and even the food that I have available, that was just like basic, like rice, beans. I didn't even eat beans. So I was that picky eater. So I was obviously like pushing my body too hard. And by the time I was in college, like it started catching up. I started getting injuries. Then I was in a car accident, and I was just crazy. Like, didn't follow up with some of the, I went to the urgent, the emergency room, but they only took like an x-ray. I do remember like my neck was pretty messed up after that. There was definitely a trauma, but we didn't found out that it was something worse until 3 to 4 years later when I was 24 years old. By then I already had my first daughter, and I started experiencing like numbness in my arms, migraines. I would woke up some days and I couldn't move my neck. And then because everything is connected, that started, my hamstrings were blowing up consistently. And you know, when you're a sprinter, when you're a jumper, you just can't half-ass stuff. Like, you have to do it. So it got to that point that even though in every single comeback that I will have, like I was jumping 21 feet in practice, like I was really getting strong, and that was just making it more heartbreaking. So I kept pushing, and even my coach were like, then we just only train in the water. And I'm like, but that's not going to translate. Like, we need to do plyos. We need to do things. So after seeing two different specialists, I was recommended, like, you need to stop running. Your neck looks like somebody that's over 60 years old. It's a really bad shape. The discs were starting to press the spinal cord. And then that's when I kind of like stopped exercising altogether. So it was pretty traumatic because I never had a plan B. That was all I knew. It was my identity. I'm a very passionate person. I know you're like that too. And one of the reasons that I love you, you're so authentic and real, and you would not do anything unless you're all in. So for me, that was my life. So I felt like anything, even though it is funny, because even though I was married, I had a daughter, I'm like, I felt like, what am I going to do now with my life? So it was just a mess. But then it also led me that transition of, led to, wow, like hitting rock bottom a few years after that. And not just physically, but my health, my mental health, my second postpartum. And that's actually what led me to become a trainer and start educating myself. It led me to find Beachbody. That's how I discovered at-home workouts. And so it was one of those things that, yeah, there was a season in my life that I never thought it was going to get better. I never even imagined myself doing a push-up again, lifting weights, running. But it's just proof that when we start focusing on the things that we can and we get knowledge and we apply whatever it is, you know, you can get strong. You can get to the other side. Like, doctors, I love them, I respect them, but they don't always know it all. They don't, you know, and I feel like sometimes they're so quick to give prognosis and things. And in my case, I definitely proved them wrong.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Because as you know, people who may just pop by your Instagram or just, you know, maybe try 30-day breakaway just to be like trying something new, they may, you know, just kind of look at your physique and look at where you are now and not really understand the struggle that you had to overcome to get where you are. And I don't know, I just, people might look at this as a testimonial for 30 Day Breakaway, but I don't care, because I'm just going to keep it real. I just remember the first time I tried it, and I was just excited to run, and I was excited just because it was you, right? Just generally, I was like, this is fun. But I put in my AirPods because I was somewhere where I couldn't go outside and run. So I was like, oh, I'll get on the treadmill. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, it takes running. Like, for me, I was on the treadmill, I wasn't outside, but it made running on a treadmill just like this incredible experience, because you were saying things, like you were guiding me through the run, where typically sometimes when I'm running distance, you get to that point where you're bored and your head starts to go and your form starts to break. Oh, and yeah. You just like really was, you like kept me on my path, and I just enjoyed it so much. And then as I was running and I was, just doing it, and I started doing the workouts, your lifting workouts and the strength workouts, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I was in the gym one day at a hotel with my mask on at the time. And like this man came up to me. He's like, are you Sean T? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, like you're doing your workouts. I was like, no, I'm doing the Dallas's workouts. And then, we started talking about it. So that was really cool. But anyway, when I was doing a run, it like one thing just kept coming back to me. You noticed from track and field, like in my book, I talk about the last 70 meters of a race, especially like a 400 meter, because I was a 400 meter hurdler.
Oh my gosh.
And how it is that point. And this is one of the reasons why I love that your program is called 30 Day Breakaway, because there's like, in the last 70 meters, you either break
or you go. Like, yeah.
So like, for those people out there who are pushing and they're trying their best and they can't, somehow they're not able to commit. How do you get them to like really have that breakthrough? Because, as a runner, as a motivator and a coach, and you're so good at it. I just always wanted to know, like, what is your way of teaching people to get through the breakthrough?
I'm more like on the cheerleader side, because I did have coaches that were really rough, and I have a weird personality. I don't know if it was the way I was raised, that I just get domestic, like I get very defensive. It doesn't work for people like me. I'm also a person who used to get in my head. I was very insecure. I definitely doubted my potential. And I feel like if it wasn't because of all the things that I went through and all the limited thoughts that I used to have that were holding me back, I couldn't relate, honestly, to most people. And especially all the dark moments that I went after not being able to move, after losing my both physical and mental health for a period in my life, I couldn't relate to the normal person either, because it's true. To keep it real, I used to think that all my friends were athletes, everybody I always grew up, I loved it so much. I just thought that people who didn't exercise, they just were lazy. And that includes my family. Everybody, nobody in my family exercises, by the way. Like, they're just amazing, but there is not a thing. So for me, it's just going through like, what are the things that I wish I heard growing up? What are the things that I wish like my coaches would tell me a little bit? And I try to tell my clients and the people that do my programs, like, my main thing is just like, focus on the things that you can do. Don't get distracted by the things that you cannot accomplish yet, because I feel like our mindset automatically just goes by, let's say that you ran, like you said, 350 meters, but then you already crushed that. But then if you don't do the last 50 meters, amazing, you fixate in that. But hey, you did amazing the other part of the race. Like, and it's more like giving them the strategies, the tool, like that mental strength. And that seems to hit home for most people. And when I went into filming the program, I was definitely like, I have a little notes and things, and I was also like running, like when I was doing the audios and getting into that place. And from someone that doesn't come natural to do long distance, I'm like, I know how people feel. So that's why I think it was hitting home. Like, oh, I know what to say. I know what I feel. I know approximately like 20 seconds left, people are like slowing down. And I'm telling you, no, I want you to go faster. Why? Because I know by now you're slowing down. But I think it's that, like, if you're somebody who's doubting yourself, who's struggling, just focus on what you can do, because it's just the only way to keep like kind of like celebrating those victories, to keep moving forward, pushing forward, and not just like why? If you cannot do a push-up yet, it doesn't matter. But maybe you can do 10 modified push-ups. You're still working your body. You're still showing up. You're still doing something. If you cannot run 2 minutes straight yet, maybe you can run and walk those 2 minutes, like alternate, like little by little, you will get better. And I think that's just so important. Those are the things that at least it helped me. It helped like the people. And just the little motivation here, there, that, but it has to be genuine. Like, I don't believe in just saying random things just to say it. And I think that's the thing that is connecting with people, at least the people who are doing my program.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I love the last part you said, which is, don't just say things that are random. And one thing we definitely have in common is, you know, people are, especially when I first started, when Insanity came out, because, you know, that was a big, I would say my big monster, like intense hit program. And people would always say, you know, how do you know what to say? I'm like, because I feel the exact same way. Yes. And this is what I have to tell myself to get through. And so, like, hello, in my opinion, that's the best way to motivate. And you don't have to, like, we don't have to reach for the affirmation at that moment. You know what I mean? This is what we feel. And if we want to break through, then that's how we're going to do it. Exactly. But, you know, you said something really interesting and to me very powerful that I've been talking about lately. And I'm so glad you said it. How, you know, you're the only one in your family that works out, you know, like in terms of like, if you look at the broad scope of your family and me too, the majority of people, they have no interest in going to the gym. And I've been telling people that, you know, we live in this bubble of Beachbody or fitness, or we surround ourselves with like-minded people who love fitness and stuff like that. And we forget that there are a lot of people out there, the majority of people aren't getting up to work out. They're trying to get up, make ends meet, make money. And I love that you talked about that, because it's not talked about. And, you know, I love that you also admitted that before you used to think that these people are lazy, and you're like, no, like they need support. What made you really want to go into coaching, knowing that you didn't like a lot of the ways that you were coached?
So to me, like, it was so normal that I didn't even thought about it. Honestly, I was just like the different one in my family, the athletes. One thing though, that has made a powerful impact about, and even though the body positivity is a new thing now, growing up in Puerto Rico, people are pretty body positive. And just going to the beach, when I said my family, they were overweight, like most of them, most of my cousins, they are overweight, like 60, 100. Some have had bariatric surgery. And I have all these beautiful memories of me being the skinny one, like shy to take my, you know, be on my bathing suit at the beach and just seeing them like rocking their bikinis and feeling so much love and respect and admiration. And they are growing up with people who are not that into fitness and seeing this, you know, that, yeah, like nobody's, not everybody's going to be a size 2, a size 4. Also helped me, like, I've never, even though I work in the industry, I've never been brainwashed into thinking like, oh, that's not okay. That's, you know, like critiquing a female either. So it has given me, like, to me, that's, it's normal too. Like, yeah, I can see a six pack lady and be, oh, that's normal. But I can also be somebody who, you know, is a plus size. And to me, it feels very normal. And I don't see it with different eyes. And I'm grateful for that. And they taught me confidence. They taught me to even embrace my body more. And I love that. But in my case, the hardest thing for coaching, like now they're all asking me questions and things like that. But to be very honest, the hardest thing has been seeing some of my cousins going, battling cancer. My mom has cancer, like, and seeing them, most of my relatives, like my dad high blood pressure, my stepdad with diabetes, and the frustration of being that they don't want to make simple lifestyle changes. And there's just so much that I can do. And even though sometimes when I talk to them, they get a little bit motivated and they might make some changes, but I'm not there. And I understand it's really hard. They're already over 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. They have this life that they're used to, that it feels so familiar, and making these changes are not easy. And most people don't understand, like, they would get very overwhelmed because they have this all or nothing mentality. So for me, that has been the hardest thing, seeing the struggles that they go through. And even though, yes, I inspire them, they trust me, they believe me, they're not ready. They don't do it because they are, most of my family, everybody in my family, they rather just take the pills than do that. And that's been definitely the only one that has broken away. Well, I'm not using the word, but like,
no,
yeah,
breaking
away from that. Like, I made a decision when I was, I don't know if you know my full story, like the things that I went through after my second daughter, but it was really bad. Like for a year, like I was always on the ER, doctor's offices, and they were prescribing me this crazy medication, and this, and they were, and I was always having to do CAT scans and epidural and all these things. And I was just getting worse and worse and worse. So for me to be like, no, I need to fix the foundation. I need to start eating ready. And it was through knowledge, because again, I was very ignorant about nutrition. It was by truly educating myself and little by little started applying that I was able to take control of the things that I could control and get my life back. But not everybody is ready. And the hardest thing is just to accept that, to respect that, and still love them and still be there if they ask me questions. But being pushy or being judgmental is not, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I love everything you talked about, because I think that people really need the freedom to find their way and the acceptance of, at least as a trainer perspective, and especially a family member who loves these people who have these struggles. You know, I've said it before, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I think one of the things that people who may have lost weight, or they may have found a healthier lifestyle, they forget that they too, one time had to, in some way, have that last hurdle that they overcome to be able to make that consistent change in their life. You know, that's why, like, for me, fitness, and similar to you, it's in no way about the six pack. It's about, for me, it's more about confidence, and it's about transformation, but not necessarily physical transformation. It's the small transformations. And, you know, I don't know if that is our track and field mentality, because I think in track and field, you know, in track and field, everyone thinks that the gun goes off and your only idea is across the finish line first. And you're like, especially as hurdlers, you're like, no, my blocks have to be lined up at the exact same spot. I have this many steps between hurdles. Yes. I have to clear the hurdle like this. One step off, it slows down my momentum. And,
yes.
And maybe we understand other people's journey because of that, you know?
Yeah. And I think, and being an athlete too, yeah, we're more grateful about, we use movement in more empowering ways, like joy, like I know I was doing your program and I loved it. It's something completely different. And by the way, I am the worst friend. I haven't done any of my other fellow people. Like, you were the first sample workout I did. I still told Megan every week, oh, I'm going to start doing your program. I haven't. And I had so much fun. And even now, whenever, you know what I'm doing with your program too? Whenever I feel like, oh, I'll just put it up. I use it like a little bit as a warm up at the beginning, and it changes my mood. This is a true story. I was telling my sister about it, and my sister, she's actually doing it completely, but she also has moments that she wants to do any little, you know, something else, and she does that. And it's amazing. And for me, one of my messages with female is just like focus on the performance, because the fitness industry definitely, it has this unhealthy way of fixating mainly how you look. And for some people, it can take a year, 2 or 3 years to look a certain way. But in the meantime, are you going to drive yourself crazy? Or are you going to feel like a badass? Like, oh my God, like I'm killing these push-ups. Like I'm mastering this movement. I'm learning, I'm feeling stronger. And that was also one of my messages when doing the program, like, let's focus on what you can do and let's do that well, because you're going to keep coming back, because you're going to feel like when your program, they feel joy, they feel amazing. They're still getting a crazy workout because you have me doing I was cramping doing one of your, you have to do like a plie squat thinking.
The legs, yeah.
I'm aging. I had like this weird cramp. I'm like, what is happening? It was hard. So I think like, I definitely like to focus on the more like building a legit foundation, giving them the knowledge, explaining the whys, and make them feel like, oh my God, I feel amazing. Yeah, the scale didn't move. I still don't fit in the jeans that I want to, but I feel like I'm befriending my body by respecting it for all the things that it does for me. And, you know, and for me too, like I'm still don't, even as a fitness beach body super trainer and the years that I've been in the industry, I don't have it together at all with my nutrition. Some weeks you might see me like way more cut and lean. Other days you're going to see me like not even a single ab, and that's okay. That's not the reason why I keep doing my workouts. I do it. First of all, I will never take my body for granted like I did those years. And then going off to being in my mid-20s and not even being able to bathe my second daughter because I couldn't now bend and do all this crazy, like it was just ridiculous. So I'm always grateful.
I appreciate the transparency, especially when it comes to the nutrition, because you know, I love me a good donut.
Too. I eat my donuts. Every other day, my daughter's like, are you going to order donuts? Like, and you know.
And I love, you know, I love my donuts. I love, you know, I love going out to eat. I love my French fries. I think that one of the things that we have, which I think is really good, and I think what I'm about to say for me, I wish and hope is a foundation for a lot of people, is like, enjoy your life. I have kids, like these kids want to, they want special foods, and like some of their, I mean, they have like these gluten-free chicken nuggets, and I'm like, this is good. And you know, they say, Papa, can you come eat with me? And well, most of the time we feed them as healthy as possible. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, absolutely. I'm going to enjoy that because, you know, most of the time I'm an 85% healthy, 15% fun. Like I give myself that freedom and that space to like eat and have fun. But I just love that you say that because it almost, I see so many people out there preaching food, preaching, you know, this is the only way to be. And there are some people that may eat that 100%, but then I hear this, those same people are like, oh, I let myself go. But you're also like trying to like jam this way of life down somebody's neck and be like, if you're not eating like this, you're not eating the right thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, but where's the balance?
No. And one thing, first of all, for being an athlete, I was surrounded with friends. I've seen many of my friends struggle hard with disorder eating patterns. And even full transparency, when I started learning about eating the right foods, like I'm Puerto Rican, I still eat rice often. Like to me, the idea of like, wait, bread is bad. Like I, when I started learning about nutrition, but I had moments that I had too much education, and then I started seeing like the good and the bad foods, and I have memories of being at Disneyland with my kids and being like, oh, everything here is gross, like feeling that way about food. So then it took me to kind of like unlearn a little bit about the diet culture to kind of like finally get to that balance too. But it's hard. And my motivation to eating healthy is wellness, like physique, because I'm Puerto Rican and all my, and they're fine. And my husband has seen me even at 180 pounds or more, like he still loves me. Like it's not enough the looks part, but it is the wellness because I did struggle to some things. But I also have three daughters that I'm raising to be like strong, that I don't want them to ever be like seeing food in a weird way. I don't want my daughters to feel like if they're eating a donut or pizza or whatever, that they feel guilty about it. So I've tried to be very mindful about that. And I don't even think, and people might not believe this, I've never even done a photo shoot that I've done a diet. And it's not even that I don't have the discipline, because I'm like, yeah, I sometimes I wonder, I'm like, I would love to see what I'm able to, my full potential if I do macros and things like that. But then I'm like, it's just like, yeah, I might look really good there, but then they might see me in real life and I don't look like super, super caught. So I feel like, why? And the few times that I try to kind of like diminish it, I noticed myself wanted the bad foods even more. So it's definitely not an approach that works for me. It works for some people. That's amazing, as long as you can still enjoy your life. But I have three girls. I don't know, maybe just be that flexible, and they still know how to exercise. They see movement. I have an athlete, a daughter that is an athlete. So she just is too much. I have to be like, can you just sit down to watch TV? And she's always like, if you guys see how she watches TV, it doesn't even make sense. She's always like bending. She's like a Kardashian. She has like, she will do the most random things. She's always doing handstand and all these things.
Contortionist.
She's always doing like the weirdest thing. And she's just like me as a kid, but on steroids. And so with her, I'm like, she's a picky eater too. I'm like, okay, Bala, like it's all about, you have to feel your body. It's all about the performance. Like, I don't want you getting injury. But of course I let her eat her, you know, her favorite food too. I have a almost 15 year old daughter. With her, the way I approach movement is different. She doesn't really enjoy exercise, but she knows like she's to balance her hormones, to get better periods. Okay, let's do strength training 20, 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week. And she does it. And she loves, like, she has her own barbell, her little things. Term nutrition, like with her, is more about like, yeah, like fool your body, but, and she eats, she actually eats like a lot, like a truck driver, like they said in Puerto Rico. But I'm not going to be like, hey, you're eating too much. Like, no, like I educate them about mindful eating and things like that. But we need to be very, very careful about how we talk food in front of our kids, because that sticks with them. And the same, if you're a mom out there, the way that you talk about yourself, about your body, about any other female's body in front of your daughters, the things that we said about their bodies, like those are things we cannot underestimate the damage that it can do. A little comment here and there. Like, I know I never grew up here listening to any of my aunts, my mom ever saying something positive about their bodies. So since I can remember, I was always very self-conscious about my body. That's not something that you grew up with. It's an environment. It's things that you hear. People, friends saying, oh, she's too skinny, she's too that. So I feel like in order to change that, like it has to start with us, unlearn all that noise that we hear about diet culture and about those extreme ways that obviously they do not work, and put our part in our daughters, like for them, like empower them with movement. Yes, have nutrition knowledge, but flexibility. And one of the weird things, it might be weird because I've never met other mom, like I've had every other month, I always remind them, I'm like, and they have never been involved in drama. I'm like, I will never want you, like, hear you say anything negative about any of your friends. If you are here gossiping, you walk away from them, because it's like all these little things that can affect other girls, like self-esteem. And I always tell them, like, you should never critique or any other girl's body. Like, and they're like the most body positivity person that you meet. So I think, like, you know, it's possible, like, but it starts with that, to kind of like make that impact so that it changes that. I know you're doing your part, though. Amazing, too, with the whole, like, lifting women up. And I think that's just, like, I admire you tons for that.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. You know, because I feel like even me, like I just got a lesson in parenting, because, you know, we do have conversations around our kids and we celebrate, like I said before, we celebrate Donut Fridays. Like even last night, like almost accidentally got our kids drunk because we thought they were getting lemonade from this place and it was actually margaritas. And I was like, oh my God. But then, you know, we sat down and they're like, you know, I know. So we sit down at the table and you know, they're like, Papa, Dada, why do you get salt on your glass? And we're like, we're having the adult drink. And they're like, why can't we have that? And we're like, you're young. But they see us eat that, but then and drink that and like have a good time with them and eat donuts. But in the morning, you know, we're like, hey, guys, you have to start your day off with water. So like hearing you say that about your kids, knowing that they're different, one likes to move and be a contortionist, the other one doesn't, it really helps. you know, me and probably other parents out there to find that balance. Because, you know, I have this joke that I say to Scott all the time when we feel like, oh my gosh, like, are we saying the right thing or doing the right thing? I'm like, our parents tried the best we could and we still got to go to therapy. I think everybody, they're going to have to go to therapy anyway.
I asked yesterday, my oldest, my middle child, she's amazing, but she's more like me. We're both like stubborn and I don't think I'm hard on her at all. It's just like, if I don't discipline her a little bit more, she has the potential to be like, whoa, go to the other way like I did at some point. And I was telling Mia, I'm like, Mia, do you guys ever just like, yeah, sometimes we bond over talking about you, kind of like saying it. But she's like, but it's not that bad. It's just like,
no, yeah.
But I'm like, I can totally relate to that. That's part of like, parenting is the most hard thing in the world. Like, always, like the thing that gives me peace at night is that, like, knowing, okay, like, I tried my best. I have the conversations that I wish somebody will have with me. Mm-hmm. But at this age, like, I don't put shame on them whenever we're talking about sex, about anything in life. Like, I'm very, very honest and vulnerable. They see me, like, failing and try. They, like, I've never put just a facade. So I'm very raw and real, which is not always... That's not every mom has to be that way, by the way. It's just my style. But I feel like, okay, I'm doing my best. There's no way that I'm going to do it perfect. They might need some therapy here and there, but it's not going to be worse than how I had it. And that's yes. What we need to do.
Well, you know, it's so cool. Because, you know, just hearing everything you're saying, I mean, this is just like overall wellness and just your take on what's most important, which is the way you actually communicate. Because I think a lot of times parents, you know, we hide things. Oh, let me say this first. Me and my brother used to talk so much shit on my mom. We used to be up in the bedroom. Be like, she get on my mother bleeping nerves, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, and you just reminded me that if I ever overhear Sias and Sandra talking about me, just to just walk the other way, because I did it
funny.
Too.
It's relatable. Okay. But I'm still right. Like, but we're still
right.
But I'm right. Just kidding.
Just so you know, I'm right. But just the overall wellness, from food to conversation and communication, mindset, and, you know, overcoming struggles. So thank you for that. All right. So with the time we have left, I have to tell you a secret that I don't even know if you know. And we got to fix this, because I had another guest from Puerto Rico about a year ago, and I still have not been to Puerto Rico.
Oh, come on. It is so fun and beautiful. And it's like, well, I don't know, from Arizona, that's a little longer. Oh, it is a beautiful place. You should go.
I know. I want to go. I have so many friends for Puerto Rico. I have, like, you know, plenty. And I just, like, of all the places I've been in the world, I've never been there. So while I know Joel is trying to plan this like trip to Mexico, this other woman, her name, we interviewed her, Jen on a Jet Plane. She does like a lot of like travel stuff, and, you know, but anyway, I just need to go, and maybe one day we'll go there together. Anyway, before we end, I just want to know your definition of trust and believe, because obviously you've overcome a lot and you definitely have had to find ways to trust and believe in yourself.
So my definition of those two words,
trust and believe.
I feel like it would go in like two different areas. Three. I don't know why those things that just come to mind. First of all, with God, myself after. Well, yeah. But for me, God has always been the thing. Like, even when I was a child going through the darkest of moment, it was that faith, like, and hope that, you know, he's listening. He will make my life, you know, and I feel like, it's definitely happened. Like, I have the family I always even dream I will ever had, a husband that loves me, like a functional marriage, a happy life, and believe that trust in what he said. And obviously then myself, which was something that it was just harder, because I didn't grow up in the best environment. But the definition has been for me to just go for it, to trust in my potential, and realize that my best is good enough, to kind of like ignore those voices in my head. And that belief that at the end of the day, what happens, I'm living my life with my purpose. And that's also the things that I try to, like, I'm being the best wife that I can be. that relationship around myself, they continue to get better. And that's just something important. And when I truly believe that, believing that the work that I'm doing with my daughters and my home in the fitness industry is helping people. And that, those are the things that come to mind right now. Like, I don't know if that's what you were looking for.
No, maybe, yeah,
maybe I got lost in translation, but those are like those things that I don't know, trusting God, trusting my potential, trust that my best is good enough whenever I'm doubting myself on any new project, which I've done really crazy things in the, you know, in my line of work. And anyway, and believe that it will pay off.
I love it. I love it all. You know, all of our guests have different ways of trusting and believing. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, you say God, and whenever if you Google trust and believe, a lot of things that actually come up is like religious stuff, because it's okay. Definitely something that's like said in church, like, and so it is very much so. So thank you for that. Okay. My last and final question. So I just told my friends and people that live here, I was like, you know, I can do cardio all day long. Like if somebody challenged me to run, I would run. If you challenged me to do like high intensity cardio, I can do it. But I was like, it's really hard for me to lift every day because I'm such a mover. And
you have amazing, you just have crazy genes then. Like you have amazing muscle. Yeah.
But I do like body weight and stuff, but really want to, and I have lifting workouts that I do, but I was just telling Elliot, my apparel manager, I was like, I really need to lift weights. And then just talking to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should ask Dallas which of her workouts I should do, the ones off the treadmill, because cardio is easy for me. So like, if you could give me three workouts that you're like, do these, like, which one should I do? Because they are, and they're tough.
I really want to like one of this. Lower body one. Any of the lower body.
I'm actually writing these down in my notes.
They're very different. I only have like two lower body workouts. One is the lower body one. The other one is relentless legs. Relentless leg is more like endurance, like single leg endurance. But I think the other one, you like it. Upper body one or any of the upper bodies. And then metaburn. But because that's really cardio based. But I have a feeling that your favorite, but it's all body weight, might actually be rainy day cardio, which actually I hate it with my soul. I have PTSD from filming that across ranch. You know that it gets hot and I was getting burned by the mat. So at some point I was doing like fists, being in the plank and burpee position, and people might think, wow, she's hardcore. I'm like, no, but it was just horrible. And then we were doing everything in both languages. So it was like back to back. And I'm like, I don't think I've done that workout. Like I can't do it. Yeah. I'm done.
Wow.
Well, you had a rough too. You were filming. You guys were like tanned.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I got so dark out there. It didn't even matter how much SPF you put. It didn't matter. It was just like, so lower body one, upper body one, and metaburn is weights too. Yeah.
Metaburn is like a little MathCon. Yeah. It's more like, okay. Yeah.
All right. You're so like I'm going to do
it. They're super short. And then if for some reason, I'm recommending the upper body and lower body one because the second version is like some combos. If you like some combos, then my husband loves upper body too. I like it a little more simple. I like the first one, but they're like simple to the point. And yeah. And my husband got like really good results with those. Yeah.
No, I mean, I've done the workouts before. I was just, yeah, no, they're great. They're so good.
Thank you.
Dallas, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And hopefully we'll see each other in Tulum.
Yeah, let's party. Let's have some margaritas and go and dance for real. I'll show you how to dance reggaeton. Not that you need to, but.
No, come on. Like, I can't wait. We can make some TikToks, some reels. We're going to be messy and fun. And I can't even wait.
Thank you, Chanti. Wow, blessings.